1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel to Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they had done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to eat his ground, to ear his ground rather, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations that our king, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, Go ye every man to his city. Oh, this is some good stuff. Back to the first verse. And it came to pass. Okay? And it came to pass. What came to pass? When Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Correct? The first word, and, there really should be now. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name or the nature of his firstborn was Joel. Do you know what that means? Joel. Yahweh is God. And the name of his second is Abiah. And his name means Yahweh is my father. They were judges where? In Beersheba. Does anyone know what it means? It's the well of the covenant or a sevenfold covenant. Okay? The word seven means, they used to say it in the old days, they'd say they'd seven themselves, and that would mean they were having a covenant made. Okay? Now, his sons was named, but I want to show you that this is not something going on back there, but it's something going on right now in your lives. Okay? Now, notice what their nature was. What was it again? Yahweh is God, and he's my father. Now, this is the nature of these two sons. That's going on in your life right now. There's probably not a person Not very many people that don't know that God is their Father. And a lot of people misunderstand. They know it, but they don't know what they know. And I'll say it that way. They don't understand yet that God is their Father. And He's their God and their Father. But look what happened. They were judges in Beersheba. This tells me that these people were set up before the foundation of the world. God already set this plan in order for us. This is an internal thing going on in our lives, right? And His sons walked not, or they didn't live in His ways or in His course of life. His sons did not walk in the way that He walked. Why? Because every man stands for his own problems and in progress. See, my dad cannot walk for me, can he? Your dad can't walk for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to experience these things. And look what took them aside. This is the same thing that's going to take everybody aside in this world. Okay? But they turned aside after lucre. What is the word lucre? Huh? Unjust gain. It could be anything. See, it doesn't just mean money. It can mean money, but not limited to money. It's an unjust gain. I could gain things unjustly that are not money. I could gain possessions. I could have relations. Look at the men and women today that are falling into traps in the ministries through sex, illicit sex. I mean, not just the big names. Look at what's running around, not just the Catholic Church. For God forbid, I'm only talking about one, because I'm talking about all of them. Baptist minister in Kentucky was molesting children just this week, and they got him in trial, and he took off, and they finally caught him in northern Ohio. You know, it's going on in all the branches of church. Why? It's humanity. And if you fail to walk in the ways of God, you're not controlling what's going on in your body. You're out of control. If you're in God's ways, you're in control. If you're not in God's ways, you're out of control. And humanity is capable of doing anything. Anything. See, animals breed with themselves. They got a nature to do what they're supposed to do. Humans can do anything, and they will do anything if they don't know who they are. If they think they're just a brute beast, just an Adamic person, what are they going to do? Whatever that Adamic nature tells them they can do. And that's anything. See? So you can't blame the people, but they got to know who they are. They got to have their identity. And it said they took bribes to pervert their judgment. People come up and give them things to give them the right judgments. See? And if financial gain is in your life, and I think it's one of the major things in any ministry, is the finances. And I'm not just talking about preachers, because we all got something to minister to somebody, don't we? Each and every one of us should have something to minister to somebody else when the time comes. We should be prepared in our life to minister to somebody. And then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Ramah, right? Now tell me what's going on in their minds. They all gathered themselves together and went and seen Samuel. Huh? It's a democracy. They're figuring this is already a democratic thing. And we all believe, even though God set this thing up, we don't believe it's going just right. Anybody ever hear that in the church realm? Let's have a meeting. Let's vote on who should be preaching. Let's vote on who should leave and who should stay. You ever hear anything like that? Okay. But now, they gathered themselves together to Ramah, and that's in the high places, and they went and talked to Samuel. They didn't like what his sons was doing. But you know what? There's one thing absent here. We can say two things. It's the same thing. Mercy and grace. Where's the mercy and grace for the young sons learning their way? Okay? Did God say go kill them? No. Where's mercy and grace? They went into religion, into the carnal mind, where they went, and they got democratic and wanted to go talk to the man of God. And mercy and grace is not there in that carnal mind. And they said to him, behold, you're old, and your sons don't live in your course of life. He says, appoint us a king to judge us like all the other Gentile nations. See, when you want to look like the rest of the world, you know what you are? You're messed up. God made you the way you are, and He gave you a special course. The sons of God, Israel, was not to walk like the other nations, were they? They were never supposed to be like the other nations. They were supposed to be a unique people, a special people. Not peculiar, like King James says, because the word peculiar literally means a beautiful people. Okay? A special people, not some weirdos. That's a shame. A lot of religions turned into weirdos. They said, make us a king, or appoint us a king, so we'll be just like all the other Gentile nations. And these words, but the words displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. What do you think they're saying? We don't want God to tell us what to do. You know why? Because self knows that God's going to get it right. And if I can get out from under the hand of God, you know what? I can do anything I want to. The last words, the last verse of the book of Judges. Does anybody remember what it says? In that day there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what they're looking for. See, in this message, what people call, quote, kingdom, and you don't hear me calling it kingdom message. I'm just telling you truth. Present truth. That's all it is. It's truth. But this kingdom message going around is this. You can do anything you want to do. It don't make any difference. Well, then why did God take time to write a book, have a book written with 500,000 words in it, telling us things about what we should do? See? That don't make no sense to me. That makes God stupid and these other preachers smart when they say you don't need the book. And what it is, they don't know the book. That's why they're telling you don't look in the book, because you'll find out they're not telling you the truth. You know the book, you're going to make them embarrassed. Okay? But they want this king to judge them. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people. You know what that word really says? Hear intelligently with the intent to respond to the words that they say. It's the word shama, 8085 in the Hebrew dictionary. And he said, in all that they say to you, he said, hearken to it, listen to it, and be ready to respond to it. Because they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Remember what the word king means? It's a sovereign. No higher power. Well, if I got someone over me that is a higher power, do I have any control? Have none. But see, they don't see a natural king that they've elected or appointed over them. They can change that, can't they? They can change that. So God says, well, if that's what they want, give them what they want. Okay? If that's what you want, but look what's going to happen to you. He said, according to all the words which they have, all the works which I have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, or I took them out of duality, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you, or to you. Now therefore, hear intelligently, with the intent to respond, to their voice. Howbeit, yet protest, not solemnly, but repeatedly. Protest them repeatedly, and show them, or literally tell or explain to them, the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now, we're not talking about some natural man coming to rule over me. When I reject God, there's only one other thing that can rule me. What is it, Bob? It's yourself. If I reject God ruling over me, there's going to be another king take the throne immediately, called the ego of man, the I, the self, the me, the mind. And everything in my life from that point on is directed to one direction, me. If I reject God, everything in my life from that point on goes to me. I get all credit, I get all glory, I get all honor in my mind. See? But there's something coming, there's a price to be paid for this. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people that demanded of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. What's he really saying? Everything that you produce, everything that you try to produce as a son, he said sons, didn't he? Those sons, everything you produce in that son realm that you think is sons, are they going to be yours? Somebody else is going to get them. See? Something else is going to get them, called the destroyer, that thing between her ears. It's going to get them all. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear or to plow his ground. Should be not ear, but plow his ground. And to reap his harvest, and to make his weapons for war. Okay? And the weapons of war for his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be what? King James says confectionaries. The literally says be ointment makers. Perfumers or ointment makers. And to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields. What is your fields? It's your earth. He'll even take control of your body. And your vineyards. Right? And who is the vineyard? Christ. And your olive yards. What does an olive yard represent? Literally, it's the olive oil which was used for illumination. So he's going to take your light. When you reject God, what happens to your mind? It becomes dark because he is the light. Hello? See, all this is pointing to things going on within us. It's not going on out there. It does me no good to know that something was done 6,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. It makes no difference to me. It can't change me unless I understand the spiritual implication of this thing. Okay? And the best, and he'll take the olive yards and the best and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed. What's a tenth? It's your tithe. He'll take your tithe. What you have, he'll consume it. He'll destroy it in other ways. And of your vineyards, and give to his officers and his servants. So your mind is going to take what is intended to God, and guess where it's going to go? Self. See? And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, because you've got to give what God gives in your heart. It's not about me asking for money or anything like that. It's about, you have to understand, where your time, your talent, and your treasure is, that's your God. Where does the majority of your money go? Okay? And I'll say this one time, just to say it. People need to hear it, evidently, because it comes through my mind. Tithing is something you do by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It's not something you do by rules and regulations. It's not under the law. Because in Hebrews 7, you'll find out that the Levitical priesthood, or the Aaronic priesthood, took tithes. But the Melchizedek priesthood receives. Whatever's brought, they receive. They don't question, they just receive. They don't count and ante everything up, tally everything up, see if everything's where it should be. They just take what's there and know that God provided what they needed, not an excess, not a lack, but what they needed. Okay? And if you look in the book very closely and you listen to the Spirit, you'll find out that the tithe is only starting at 10%. There's a second realm and there's a third realm. It goes to 20 and it goes to 30. But you can't do that unless God tells you about it. See, it can't be by me saying something to you. It's what you have to do when the Spirit of God births it in you. And I'm done with the tithes. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses. And that word ass right there is the male ass, and it's denoted by being red. Okay? So what's he saying? He's going to take your Adamic nature and put them to his work. So your mind's going to make you work for your mind. Some people say, well, that's not bad. That's what you think. See? That's called deception. See? I was not created to serve myself, was I? The book says we were created to worship him. Doesn't it say that? My reason for being here is not to worship myself or serve myself. But this is what it's going to do. It's going to turn it back into the I world. It's the end of the 16th verse. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, or let me rephrase that. He'll take a tenth of your sheeple. Did you hear that, Bob? Okay, he'll take a tenth of your sheeple. And you shall be his servants. That's right. And you shall cry out in that day because of what? And when it says the word because, it's a mistranslation. You know what the word is? Panim. Because of the face of your king. Because of the identity of your king. Now, we're not talking about the King Christ. We're talking about looking and seeing one day we're going to see the face of our king and realize it was my own self, that I had set myself a king in my life. My book told me that he bought me with a price. I am not my own. Because of what I've become, because I set myself as king. This is not some external thing. It's an internal working that God is working in our lives. If we can't see that, I mean, that's why the church has not changed or progressed in 2,000 years, because they've kept everything external. God lives within all of us, doesn't he? Well, then you've got to let him work inside of here. Quit trying to push him out there. Let him come inside and change the way you think. Put on the mind of Christ. Like Paul said in Romans, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, this age, this thinking process in this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's about changing what you think. This dust, when we die, goes back to the earth. You can mummify it, you can freeze dry it, you can do anything you want to it, but it's going to end up in dust. Sooner or later, it's going to be dust. But your spirit is going to return to the Father. Read the book. Ecclesiastes 12:7. We're going back to our Father. That's the whole point. I can't go back to my Father as long as I don't know He's my Father. I'm still running around this world as an orphan. And the sad thing to say is 90% of the ministries are still orphans. The preachers are orphans. They say, oh, God is our Father, but they don't act like it. If my Father were God, I'd be acting like my Father, wouldn't I? And the reason his sons didn't is because they wanted a king too. And they set themselves king over. And this is the process that goes on in our lives, and we start taking everything that was intended for beauty in this world, and we turn it and pervert it into what we want. Because it said they took for filthy lucre, and they took bribes to pervert judgment. See, my judgment's perverted when I go after all that gain. I've never had a desire to have a lot of money in life. See, when I leave God, all I can see is self. I set the other king up in my head. This is why, it's not some of the reason, it's the total reason why anyone strays away from the course of God. It's because they want themselves set up as a king. You'd be surprised the people that I know who can't receive correction from anybody. They can't receive correction. You could come in the mildest, meekest terms in the world and explain to somebody, you know, you've got a little problem here we need to look at. Let me show you something, try to help you out, even in private. And they will not hear it because they don't want a king over them. They want to set their own king. They want to have say in what's going on. If I have a say in what's going on, I have no king, do I? I'm myself. King is sovereign. You've got to let him be sovereign in your life. And I know a lot of people don't believe God's sovereign over all things. But if he created all things, why wouldn't he be sovereign? I'm going to tell you what, and I'm just thinking, and I think I'm thinking with the mind of Christ. If I created it all, it's all mine, and I can do with it as I please. Right? And I don't have to ask nobody what to do, how they want me to do it. If it's mine, I can do with it as I please. And that's where God is at. He does not have to ask us, and he doesn't ask us. God doesn't even ask us to come to him. God draws us to him. Read the book. No man goes to the Spirit. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Helko, drag. forcibly drag you if you need it. See? But it's not that way. Because when God's love is expressed to you in the way that it should be, it's like a bug coming to the light. They can't stop, can they? And just fly right on into that light. You can't stop. And once that light's exposed in your life, there's no way that you can stay back away from God. I don't believe it. Don't believe it for a minute. Because if anybody tried to run more from God than I did, I'd like to know who they were. And when He showed me a light, nobody can keep me away. Nobody. I've been talked about, slandered, spit on, threatened to be shot, threatened to be beat, and I still can't turn away from the light. They can make all them noises out there in the world they want to, set all the fires they want to out there in that world, and it will not distract me from the course that's set before me to the light. When you see that bright light, there's no change in anything. Okay? Where did I leave off? 18. And you shall cry out in that day in the face of your, because of the face of your king, and that's your carnal mind, which you shall have chosen, and the Lord will not what? Wrong. The Lord will not respond. You think God's hard of hearing? God knows the very thoughts of your heart before you say them, doesn't He? So why would we say He don't hear you? Wrong innuendo. He just won't respond to what you're saying because you made a choice. And as long as you think you're democratic, then you made the choice, you made your bed, what's the rest of the story? You get asleep in it. See? Well, they thought they did, that's why they rejected God. But if God hadn't called them, they're going where they're supposed to. It's a temporal movement. He's doing it for you. You're going to have to go through the hard way. Nobody gets a shortcut. It's not like the church thinks everybody, when they get to a certain place, okay, God's finished, now He's just going to zap the rest of you and bring you in. No, that's not the way it's going to work. Everybody's going to experience it the same way. Yep, you sure have to. Verse 19. The word nevertheless shouldn't even be there, but the people refused to obey. Okay? And that word obey, I'm trying to see, it's not obey, it's the word shama. They refused to hear the voice of Samuel. Okay? They refused to hear and respond to the voice of Samuel. And Samuel was who? A type of who? The Christ. And it's also first fruit. Do you think it's any different in your life when you speak to some people and they fail to hear and respond? That this is going on in your life. Come on, this is part of your life. When the Christ in you speaks out to people, do you think they pay any attention to you? They don't hear you. They refuse to hear and respond to it. If they respond, it's something very negative. They'll chop your head off for sure. And they said, nay, or no, but we want a king over us. He is king. But they're saying, we don't like that king. We want the one we chose ourselves, myself. See, that's what they're saying. I want myself to make my decisions. Okay? And you ain't going to like that neither when it gets started. Verse 20. That we also, and cross out the word may, because may isn't there, that we also be like all the nations. All the wild imaginations, you can imagine, that's what they want to be like. They want to be just like the carnal mind and everybody else, running rampant and doing what's right in their own eyes. That our king may judge us. Who's their king? Carnal mind can be perverted. It is perverted, isn't it? So if I'm going to judge myself, am I going to give a fair judgment? Hey, I had the right intent behind it. I didn't mean that. See, I'll have that biased opinion, won't I? There's two things that you'll do in your life. If you're serving God and you're truly walking in the mind of Christ, you will do this. You will judge. The book says if you judge yourself, you'll be judged of no man. But if I'm walking in carnality, I'll do the one of two things. I will judge myself too harshly, and try to punish myself because of condemnation and guilt and low self-esteem. Or I'll judge myself too leniently and let myself get by with everything. See? And the only moderation, the only in between that of too much and not enough is the right thing, which is the Christ. And Jesus said, not guilty. He said, not guilty. Now that doesn't mean I have a license to do what I want to do. It just means that I will reap what I sow. Galatians 6, remember? 6, 7, and 8. God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap of the flesh corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap the life of the ages. Okay? That's what we have to look at now. That we may also be like the nations, like the carnal, rest of the carnal world, that our King may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Well, the battle's the Lord's. It's not mine anyway. See, I don't have to fight the battle. And if I try to fight the battle, it's a shame what we get into. And I thank God that he took me right on through. There was a big wind blowing that just swept me right on through that realm of spiritual warfare. The battle is the Lord's according to the book, isn't it? Then why am I fighting anything? Why am I fighting? You got people out there screaming and hollering at the skies and acting like they're chopping people's heads off, and they're saying they're doing spiritual warfare. I say they're doing a great aerobics class. They're having a great aerobics class. And it does nothing for me spiritually. It does a little bit of physical, because it says physical exercise profits little. So it's not real good, but it'll give you a little bit of movement or something. Exercise is good for our natural body. Nothing spiritual about it. That's some of that strange stuff that the world gets into the mind of religious folk. And Samuel heard all the words of the people. Let me say it a different way. Samuel heard with the intent to respond to all the words of the sheeple. And he spoke them in the ears of the Lord. So he took everything that the sheeple said and said to God, this is what they want. And this will blow your mind. Look what he says. And the Lord said to Samuel, that's the Father saying to the Christ, hearken or hear intelligently with the intent to respond to their voice and make them a king. Hello, look what I said. Make them a king. Not make them a king like this, but in your life, make you the king. Make them a king. Let them be a king over themselves. Turn yourself over to that mind. Go ahead. Have it. Let them have at it. Because when they're going to come to a place, they're going to be sorry they did it. But see, that's a good thing. And here's where the world can't understand when you say, turn them over to a reprobate mind. Turn them over to Satan for the buffeting of the flesh. Let the carnal mind have at them. Why? Because when that carnal mind gets through beating them up, they only got one place left to go. Where's that? Back to their father. See, it's a great thing. Because the only way they're going to get there is find out that their alternative does not work. That's a fact. See? So as long as we have a choice in our life and we think we got another way to go, that we can choose someone else to rule over us other than God, we're going to be in confusion. If you put multiple choices in front of you, what's the odds of getting a wrong answer? It's at least doubled. See, if you got two answers, you got at least twice as much chance. If there's only one option in front of you, what's the odds of making a mistake? None. Put two there, you just cut it in half. Well, imagine the things that we can do. So when God removes all them other things and you let God be the sovereign in your life, I don't have to worry about making a mistake. You know why? And I'm not saying I'll never make a mistake, but I see it through the eyes of God. That mistake was a gift to me to let me change, to help me see the error of my thinking process. Okay? Part of the pressure. It's okay. See? And I don't have condemnation and guilt for making a mistake. David continually made mistakes through the Psalms. Did he not through his life? Did he ever whine and cry and get in low self-esteem about what he did? Not really. Because as soon as he did it, he said, oh, I messed up. Father, forgive me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Did that mean he never made another mistake? He just caught that mistake and learned from it. He didn't repeat his mistakes. That was a wonderful thing. Go back and see if he repeated anything. You'll find out he didn't. Because there's a lot of them out there. And I still love the saying of Eleanor Roosevelt. You should learn from other people's mistakes, because you can't live long enough to do them all yourself. Okay. And see, that's exactly what Jesus taught. He said, follow me. Do you know what that means, encompasses? How much that encompasses, follow me? Oh man, that encompasses everything. If you follow him, when you come to a situation and you say, well, now what should I do? You don't have to think about it. He did it that way. That's the way I'm going. Don't even have to think about it. Because if I follow his path, I cannot be wrong, true or false. See? It's that simple. And I'm telling you, the book says this: mark them who follow Christ and follow them. But see, people won't do that. They want a king over them. They want to make their own. I want to make my own choices, make my own mistakes. Go for it. But see, it's a harder way. You can follow the easy course through Christ. Wherever he goes, that's where I'm going. And guess what you'll do? You'll have fewer mistakes you have to walk through. You see what I'm saying? As a young person coming up today, Josh, if you had to walk through this world and never know anything about Christ, I guarantee you, you've got a lot harder course to walk than when you know Christ. You know what? You could see somebody walking in front of you, some older person, one of them old people, you know. And as young people, we all had this attitude that we already knew more than most of the old people, because they was old and they didn't know nothing. But when you realize those older people have experienced a lot of things, and I could listen to them and find out ways to avoid those pitfalls that I've walked through. See? Yeah, I know. You got to listen to this wisdom in that old. I got a nephew, he's in Toledo right now in law school. But every time I get around him, and he come to me when I was up there last time up in Detroit, he says, Uncle Dave, said, I love sitting and listen to you. And this is not a young man. This is not a little kid. He's 30 years old and married. He comes to me and says, I love to sit and listen to you talk. I learn things. I mean, he's not going to church, but he's listening to elder men, finding out the mistakes that they made and saying, ooh, I'm walking around that one. I can see they get burnt there, you know. Or this is the easiest course I can see because the experience in front of me. That's a wise young man. It's not just because he listened to me, but he listened to other elder men that's walked through life. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. When Samuel's old, people don't want to listen to him, do they? They don't like to listen to old people. And it's a typical thing of the carnal mind wanting to be its own king. But God is trying to tell you that you can take the course if you want it, but it's going to be hard. He's going to take everything you got. All the rewards that you have in the kingdom of God is going to be squandered by this king that you're going to choose over yourself. Mm-hmm. Yep, they don't want him. They don't want him. They don't want the king. Anyway, I'm done. Proverbs 25, verse 2.